for Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Councilmember Harmon?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Hill?
Here. Please join us for a moment of reflection. Thank you. Tonight we have our friends from the Aurora Grande Alliance Club to help us with the flag salute. Would you come up, please? And would everyone please stand for the flag salute?
Put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Thank you very much, Bill and Bill. Would like to tell us about some of the latest happenings with the Lions?
Yeah, well, the main project of Lions International here locally and the other clubs is anything to do with vision, such as recycling glasses, conducting vision screening for the elementary for children in all the schools, where we found over the years that there's probably 9 to 10% of children have some kind of vision problem, and we discover it at an early age. And another thing that we've been seriously involved with, working with the Women's Club on the remodel of the kitchen, and we are still soliciting bricks where you can put your name and your logo on, anywhere from $100, and it'll go on bricks in the patio.
Thank you very much. Bill? You guys also hold pretty great barbecues, too. I know that. We really appreciate all that you do in the community. Any questions about the agenda this evening or issues?
There might be other public comments.
Item 5A is closed session announcements. Can I ask legal counsel to please tell us about the last closed session?
Certainly. At the September 22nd City Council meeting, there was a closed session for a conference with legal counsel to discuss potential litigation relating to a contract with GLR Construction. We reported out at that time at the end of the closed session, and we will repeat again tonight that the council provided direction to legal counsel regarding the potential litigation, and there was no other reportable action.
Thank you very much. Item 5B, can we move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived?
Move. So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Brings us to item 6, we have no special presentations. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. Anyone who'd like to speak to the council on any item that's not on the agenda this evening is welcome to do so at this time. We request that you tell us your name and city of residence. That is not a requirement, but we request that you do that for the record. Mr. Lund, welcome.
Good evening. Bob Lund, 1202 Linda Drive, Aurora Grande. Mr. Mayor, council members, city staff, and citizens of Aurora Grande. Excuse me. I'm speaking here this evening on behalf of Aurora Grande in Bloom. 2 weeks ago, several of us journeyed to Holland, Michigan for the American in Bloom Symposium. This was our 9th year of participation in the American in Bloom program. And this is the first year that we're removed from competition with other cities of the same general population category, and they put us into a special category of competition with other cities. In 2010, we won a special award. We were placed into what's called the Circle of Champions because we had won so many awards. So this year we competed against only other Circle of Champion cities. Unfortunately, we didn't win that group because Holland, Michigan, who was our host for the symposium, actually won that category award. However, we did come back with more awards. Again, to add another plaque to our wall is a Five Bloom Award for Communities Heritage Preservation. So we've been a Five Bloom city now for, I think it's our fifth year. So I will present this to Diane to place on the wall. All kinds of stuff in here. In addition, we were given a very special recognition for best public art that celebrates the heritage of the community in recognition of the art on the site of the Mason Bar. So we're very proud to have received that. But the one that I'm most proud of is in 2010, I was nominated and won the Community Champion Award. This was the second year that they had this award. This year, I nominated Mary Hertel, who's in charge of our landscaping for Arroyo Grande and Bloom, and she beat out 23 other nominees nationwide to receive the American Bloom Community Champion Award. So we're especially very, very proud of Mary Hertel. One other public announcement before I leave, and that is Arroyo Grande and Bloom also sponsors public art throughout the community. This coming Saturday, we're having a fundraiser at the Women's Club, 6 to 9, and it's called Bluegrass and Brushes. We're doing two artists are instructing people who come. So it's $75 if you participate in the arts program. You get a couple of free drinks, bluegrass music, free food, and $50 for a patron if you're not interested in becoming an artist. So we encourage you to call Trudy Jarrett, who is the head of our public arts committee, 805-709-6005. So please support our public art. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, and congratulations on
thank you
on that.
Well done. Well done.
Me as well, just for the record. Hello, everyone. Linda Osti. I live in Arroyo Grande, too, 309 East Cherry Avenue. I'd like to do an invocation tonight as you invite us to come to you, our Heavenly Father, and we know that if you kept a record of our wrongs, none of us would stand a chance. But with you, there is forgiveness, so we are eternally grateful. And beyond your gift of forgiveness, we need your wisdom under pressure. Leadership pressure strains our marriages and our families. Would you give us grace to love our spouse, wisdom to make time for family, and keep no record of wrongs? The stress of political leadership can tempt us to sweep aside our convictions. Give us wisdom and grace to lead with courage. Heavenly Father, give our leaders the wisdom to make the correct decisions in regards to the South County Sanitary Services request this evening. Continue to bless and protect our men and women and their families serving in harm's way to protect our freedoms and liberties. Bless and protect our public servants, especially law enforcement officers and firefighters. Bless and give comfort to the families who have lost loved ones during the recent floods in the Carolinas. Help families recover from the devastating damage caused by the rising waters. The problems in our cities, nation, and pressing decisions can divide us beyond reason. Would you give us discernment beyond ourselves for the sake of the greater good? May we act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Would anyone else like to address the council on items that are not on the agenda this evening? Colleen.
Good evening, and thank you for your service. I knew you were here Thursday, so you've already done your duty for the week, so I appreciate that. I'm here today, once again, to urge you to stick to the general plan, the land use element, and all the guides that our city has created over the years, whether it's for agriculture, recreation, traffic. When we're looking at future development, it's always good to go back to our framework, the guides that were carefully thought out, and stick by them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to address the council?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm wondering what the city is doing to get business to come into town. We have lost Round Table to Grover Beach, the Girls, and Higgins is now closing their doors. And I hope it doesn't happen like what happened to Ralph's and it becomes a Big Five. We need a regular commercial grocery store in this town. Number two, our city manager told me when I met with her a couple of weeks back that I need to give the staff 2 to 3 weeks to reply to questions unless it's an emergency. I can't think of a private sector business that would stay in business with that kind of reply time. I think we can and should do better. Three, I can't believe with all this going on with this city, there is nothing on this agenda as new business. Startling to me. And last, Kristen, you asked John Mack for his address. That was not up to you to ask him, nor is it a requirement that he has to give it. Now I'm wondering, are you the one who turned him in for an FCCP violation? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on items that are not on the agenda this evening? Okay, hearing none. We will have time for public comment on each item that is on the agenda before those are decided. Item 8, then, is the consent agenda. It's a rather long consent agenda. First of all, anything that council members would like to consider separately?
8D.
8D? F, possibly.
So 8D and 8F. Are you pulling 8F?
Okay. 8D and 8F.
I'm sorry, did I hear F?
D and F.
Okay.
Any others?
Not for me.
Are there questions from the council on the... Okay. Remaining items. Okay, would anyone from the public like to comment on the consent agenda items except for 8D and 8F?
Hi, my name is Colleen Martin. I'm here to speak on 8I, the EIR for the East Cherry proposed specific plan. I'm really concerned that we're already going to an EIR with a project that we haven't even made a decision on. This is the last piece of vacant land in the outskirts of the village, and it doesn't address any ingress and egress tying back into traffic way extension or any more of the traffic flows in the village. The proposal that I see already has 60 lots proposed with front doors facing East Cherry and an alleyway. Right now, on any given weekend, there's cars lying down East Cherry on the dirt roadside. We live in a move-in school district. What I'm telling you is babies aren't born here. They move here when kids are 8 to 10 years old. I know this through the demographics on our school district. It's expensive to live here, so people have their babies elsewhere, and in their third, fourth career stop, they finally can make it to the beach, and they move to the beach. So when people move here, when their kids are 10, 11, 12, they're going to be 16 in a minute, and they're going to have a car. So most move-in families are eventually going to have 3, maybe even 4 cars. My friend, who lives in Berry Gardens, has 4 children. When it's Thanksgiving Day and her 4 children come with their 4 boyfriends, that's 10 cars, 10 cars. So I'm really begging you to really... Are we going to put this in stone already in our guidelines for our EIR that we're going to have 60 lots with alleyways with smaller than guideline streets for the last piece of property in the village? What we need is a morning rise where Councilmember Guthrie lives. That's what we need. Single-story homes for young families and seniors. That's what we need. We don't need two-story monstrosities with no sunlight. So please, can't we look at this? And you're making a decision tonight, and you're basically, by putting that property in the EIR, you're already deciding the train it's going to be on. How are we going to tie in to traffic way extension? Long, long time ago, I ran for city council, and it was because they were going to put 227 through East Cherry all the way back down. We got to think long term. That's your job, to be visionaries for our city. Please don't just say, yeah, do an EIR on 60 sublots of residential, two-story, no sunshine, small streets that the city doesn't have to maintain. Please think about it before you send this forward. I recommend you push it off to the next meeting and really reconsider.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment on the consent items?
Yes, Linda again, and I'd like to comment on the same consent item. For some of you probably know already that I live on Cherry Street. In fact, I just said that earlier. And so it does affect me, and we've seen projects coming or try to come in all along. And I know that the council or the planning had said that they wanted it to be the new project if it came or when it came to look like the village. But this will not look like the village. The village has the small little houses, and we have about 15% or less that are two-story. They're proposing 85% two-story houses. It's going to look like a wind tunnel. The lots are substandard, but not only are they substandard, they're including the acreage from both the the Japanese area at one end and also the commercial in order to do that. If they have entrances and substandard lots where the porches and are so close to the street there and have to go through an alleyway, most people, how many people in this room even park both their cars in the garage? People don't, and so they're going to be parking them all on the street again. We have between 2,000 and 2,500 cars going up and down the street already. It is already a nightmare, and just to have an ingress and egress and then also to tie it back in up by the church behind us, it's really, really going to be a mess. So again, if they're going to build houses, I think it's wonderful. It's going to happen eventually. I've been there for over 20 years, and I know it will happen, but not on substandard lots. And again, not the two-story houses predominantly. So thank you very much for listening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Consent items.
Patty Welsh. I'm also going to speak on the same consent agenda. We do need housing in this town, no doubt about it. I'm wondering, were these residents in the area even notified on this, or was this something else that we're just going to slide in on consent agenda and not have the people informed? I was out there, Mayor, when you were out there, Kristen was out there, and we saw the plans and stuff. But let's keep the residents who are most impacted informed on projects like this. Then we don't have another snafu like we did out on Cortland and Grand. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment on the consent items?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Rio Grande, regarding item 8I also. I'd just like to know if staff is accounting for their time. I believe the EIR is something that the developer is supposed to pay for. And so if staff is supposed to be reimbursed, or the city is supposed to be reimbursed for staff time, I have never seen an accounting for how many hours staff actually spends on certain projects, and we've been asking for that for a while. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the consent items?
Mayor, Council Members, Carol Florence. I'm a principal planner with Oasis Associates, and I feel compelled to speak this evening on behalf of Mangano Homes and the Japanese Welfare Association, who I represent. If you recall, we had three pre-application meetings, one in July and November of 2014, and most recently in February of 2015, to discuss with the council specifically just moving forward with the general plan amendment process. So what is before you this evening is just part and parcel to that process. We made our application in May, probably middle of May of this year, and the next step after that was to deem the application complete and move into the EIR process, which is a very transparent and participatory process, and frankly quite lengthy. But I want to underscore the participation part of that, because scoping the EIR is also part of what we do in the public realm, if you will. We will have hearings that are all public hearings. As the applicant's agent, we have already held one large public outreach meeting and now are working with a smaller group in the neighborhood to keep them informed as to what the process is. So it is a process that, if people are interested, there is ample opportunity to participate and let your voice be heard. So nothing is being decided this evening except we're asking for your approval of the contract with the EIR consultant. And lastly, I wanted to speak about the accounting. It's absolutely correct that the applicant pays for the entire process, including the contract with the EIR consultant or the contract that the city will be moving into with the traffic engineer. And there's an administrative fee on top of whatever those contract amounts are that cover the costs of staff's time. So I'm more than happy to answer any of your questions. We'll no doubt see you sooner than later, but this process will take probably almost a year's worth of time to produce the draft environmental impact report. That will be issued for a 45-day public review period. Lots of hearings before we ultimately get back in front of the council. So I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Would anyone else like to address the council on the consent agenda items? Okay, hearing none.
I'd like to pull that item.
That's item 8I?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, if I may interject, Mr. Mayor, we do have two ordinances under consent. 8J is the consideration of adoption of the ordinance regarding residential rooftop solar systems, and 8K is the ordinance regarding the dog park rules and exclusion policy. I'm going to go ahead and read those titles for you, as that's required. So the first is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adding section 15.04.030 to Title 15 of the Municipal Code relating to expedited permitting procedures for small residential rooftop solar systems. And then we have 8K, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adding section 12.20.080 to Chapter 12.20 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code relating to dog park rules and exclusion policy.
Thank you very much. So if we have a any discussion from council?
Are the other ones? No.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda 8A through 8K with the exception of 8D, 8F, and 8I.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Hill?
Yes. Okay, item 8D. Resolution.
I just want to take a moment. Sometimes we do consent agenda and people don't understand, quite honestly, what we're doing. And here we are acknowledging the disability to a local peace officer, and I've known him well. I've had the opportunity to have him help me with my family, so I know him quite personally. And I just want to say I hope he gets well, and the city should be behind him, and there should be no disagreement that this is necessary and appropriate, because he deserves what he's getting. And so I just want to tell him publicly that we appreciate his service. Thank you.
I would move for approval of 8D.
Second.
Is there public comment on item 8D? Hearing some? Hearing one.
I just want to second what Tim said. These are the guys who put their lives on the line for us, day in, day out, 24/7, and I wish them all the best.
Thank you for your comment. Any other comment on that item? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a motion?
We have a motion and a second already.
And second, can we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Hill?
Yes. Okay, item 8F is the consideration of the change order to R. Burke for additional work on the 215th Street repairs, the Paulding Wall, and the Briscoe Road paving. And that item, there's an additional $10,000 over what was projected for the Briscoe project. Is that right?
Actually, what we're asking for is a contingency of $10,000 for the Briscoe Road paving. That work was completed last night. Generally, when you pay for a public works engineered project, you pay on a unit quantity, and we do our best to estimate the amount of quantity that will be used. For instance, you pay in tonnage of asphalt. So we can estimate that we use 90 tons of asphalt. It may be 91. So the bid came in at paying for 90. We would need some contingency if those quantity measurements are off. So that's why that's in there. It's not asking for additional money for that project. It's a contingency amount. And sometimes there are unforeseen circumstances. We may encounter something that wasn't anticipated, and so that's what that additional amount is for.
Okay, and then that project will include all the final striping and everything of the roadway?
That's correct. That work is tomorrow evening. I want to steal your thunder. The city manager was going to make an announcement about the status of that project later under staff comments. Traffic loops are being cut in tonight, and when I say cut in, they'll actually saw cut into the asphalt, then they lay the wire inside the asphalt, and then they'll seal over the top of that. That's a detector for traffic that times the signals or allows the signal to recognize that there's a vehicle there. That work is happening tonight and tomorrow night, as well as they're raising the utilities. When they come in and grind, which we did last night, they have to lower the utilities so they don't hit the valves and other items that are in the road. So they lowered those. Tonight they'll be raising them back to the existing grade and doing the loops. We anticipate that the traffic striping will take place on Thursday evening, and that's scheduled and underway.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Are there any other questions from the council? Is there any public comment on this item?
Thank you. I travel underneath the Briscoe underpass daily, multiple times every day, and I was a little bit alarmed to go under there this afternoon and see that the right and left turn arrows were, honestly, from the car, looked no bigger than this. If there's really not a lot of good pre-warning, or my car got hit again today, so I'm a little flustered. There's not a lot of advance notice about how to proceed through that intersection. Yesterday when I was going through it, even though there's a left turn lane onto Branch and a right turn lane onto Branch heading towards the library, the gentleman in front of me, I was in the left lane, he decided to turn left from the right-hand only turn lane, and so that caused us nearly to have an accident going on to Branch Street and up the hill, because I was trying to merge to the right to plan ahead for making my right turn onto Rancho Parkway, and guess who was here? A man who was in a right-hand turn only and should have been somewhere down by the library by then. I'm not a traffic engineer. The greatest percentage of traffic at that intersection goes left towards Walmart, and yet we have the right and left turn lanes evenly divided. And I'm curious as to why there isn't a double left-hand turn lane like we have at Kmart or at Oak Park, turning left from Branch onto Oak Park over the intersection. That's the way the majority of the traffic goes there, is up over the overpass. And here we have a 50-50 split when the majority of the traffic doesn't go 50-50 right or left. It goes to the left onto Branch. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that's the way it will eventually end up, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, Mayor, members of council. To let you know, when we originally submitted the traffic control plan and the striping plan for the temporary closure at Briscoe, we actually submitted with the double lefts as the last speaker was requesting. It was actually Caltrans that rejected that double left, and we have since worked with them to modify that so that now when the striping goes back in, that double left will be striped in Thursday night.
Thank you very much for the explanation, Jeff. Ms. Walsh?
You guys gave 10 weeks, I believe it was, for this project. And I'm wondering, with the striping now getting done, which I was told was going to happen on the 11th, is it 10 weeks past that? I mean, how do you do a study when things are constantly changing out there? I thought when you do a study, you set it up the way that you optimally want it, and then you start the study. So this has been frustrating, to say the least. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none. I would move approval then of item 8F.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve item 8F. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Hill?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Okay, and item 8I.
Just give me a second, if you would. I just wanted to mention regarding 8I and the East Cherry project, there's a couple things I think the public needs to be aware of, and probably even the applicant. This project is far from being approved. We're in the initial stages, so we need to understand that. Secondly, these projects are being dealt with separately, Japanese Welfare Society and the housing. So anybody that believes that they should be lumped together and voted together, that's not correct. And there's been this notion publicly by both the applicant and members of this council and staff that they are lumped together. They're not. They're clearly separate projects. And that's not voicing an opinion one way or on the projects. I'm just telling you that as a process matter, they are clearly separate projects. They have the right to go through the EIR with 60 units, and we'll decide after we see the EIR whether or not that's an appropriate project, but they're well within their rights to do what they're doing on the residential development only. This does not include, and I want to repeat myself, this does not include the Japanese Welfare Society. They're a separate project. So those are my comments.
Any other comments or questions from the council? No, sir. Is there a public comment on this item, 8I?
Hi, Colleen Martin, 855 Olive. I've driven East Cherry almost daily for 25 years. My parents live at the end of East Cherry, Lyerly Lane. When I look at the proposed map that's included in the EIR specs, it includes, once again, substandard street widths and a very tiny, skinny alleyway. and two-story homes. When I went to Mr. Magano's meet and greet out at the Japanese land, there was maybe 100 people there. Councilmember Guthrie was there, and maybe a couple of you. And I interjected and said, how many of you want to live in two-story homes? Not one person raised their hand. And that's why I'm telling you this tonight, early on. Not one person there wanted to live in a two-story home. And I know we want to attract young families to Aurora Grande, and we have teachers and young professionals that want to purchase homes. But it needs to be livable homes. We want people to live in Aurora Grande because it's such a nice place. We need to provide them a backyard so they can enjoy the sunshine that's created when you have single-family homes, and also smaller square footage. When I first moved to this area, I lived in a home that was 1,100 square feet, and that was perfectly acceptable for a young family starting out. We're not building 1,100 square foot homes anywhere anymore. We're talking 1,700, 1,800. They don't need that much space. Maybe they'd like some space to play, enjoy our lovely weather, our lovely climate, and our culture. So I know it's early in the process, and I'm thrilled to hear that the two parcels are separate, going through the whole development process. But I'm going to be coming back at you all the time, asking for a regular street. You know, every time we have a substandard street and a HOA, we're adding costs on for those young buyers. We're adding $100, $200, $300 onto their monthly fee instead of it being part of their capital, part of their down payment of a home. So I really want you to really think about this project, and I will please be writing you letters and coming back, and I'm hoping the people who live on East Cherry will come and get involved because it is a traffic nightmare there, and they're going to need a wide street and plenty of parking, more than just assuming people are going to park in their garage, because that's a big assumption in California. So thank you so much for thinking ahead of time and starting to think now about what this project could look like and how it could complement the village and what we want for Aurora Grande. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else comment on this item?
It's an all-time record for me, three times tonight. I apologize, but thank you for listening to me. I do thank you, Tim, for Councilmember Brown for the information. However, when I went to the meeting that they had with the 100 people there at the Japanese property, it was my impression that they are three separate lots, you know, and three separate projects. However, they were including those two, the commercial and the Japanese property with the residential in order to get the substandard lots that they have. They were including the total square footage. That was my impression. But I do know that they are three separate projects. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comment on the item? Okay. Hearing none?
Mr. Mayor, with the public comment, I feel led to speak again. Ms. Osti, what you said was absolutely correct. There's been this assumption and this math that's gone on. It happened when we did the mitigation for the East Cherry residential. We played games with the math, and it's all right in the public record. I'm not saying it's not anything that's not clearly in the public record. So that's been my frustration from the beginning. Both staff and the developer have used different math depending on what works and what is most pleasing to whoever is talking. So I appreciate your comments, and I hope that you will continue to come publicly and bring that forward, because sometimes I feel like I'm the lone voice in the wind. But the math clearly doesn't add up, and it's intellectually dishonest. So I just want to tell you that regardless of the outcome of the project, I appreciate your comments, and I hope you come forward later on. Thank you.
That prompts a question of staff for me, if I could just ask real quick. So when we did the mitigation request, did the mitigation include either the commercial property or Japanese Welfare Society property in our decision?
No, it was looking at acreage for agricultural mitigation for sub-area 2, which is the residential portion.
All right, I
I appreciate that. So I do just want to point out that it was actually intellectually dishonest to suggest that, that the two properties weren't included
Look at the staff report. Look at the staff report, Jim. I brought this up with Teresa at the time of the meeting.
About the decision, Tim.
I appreciate it. I'll stop.
The record speaks for itself.
Councilmember Guthrie, do you have any other comment?
No, I made them. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Councilmember Brown, do you have any further comment? Councilmember Harmon.
I'd like to hear from Director McLeish. She indicated that she had a follow-up.
Yes, briefly, the item again is to award the contract for the California Environmental Quality Act required work for the project. But I did want to make a make sure that everyone was clear in terms of the project description, and it is for a specific plan amendment along with individual projects for each of the sub areas. So I just want to make that clear for the record. Specific plan covers all three sub areas, and then each property has a vesting map or conditional use permit. All but the commercial project has a specific separate entitlement.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, any comment?
No.
Okay. Do we have a motion then?
I would move for approval of item 8I.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve item 8I as presented. May we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Hill?
Yes. Item 9 is public hearings. Item 9A, I'll ask the clerk to introduce the item, please.
Item 9A is a request from South County Sanitary Service for integrated solid waste collection rate increase.
And City Manager Thompson, can you provide us a staff report?
Well, I'll start off by just introducing Administrative Services Director Debbie Malicote, who will do the presentation along with our consultant.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and members of Council. I'm Debbie Malicote. Tonight we have in front of us a request from the South County Sanitation Company that provides the refuse collection throughout the community. The request is for an increase to their fees for not only this coming year, but the following 2 years as well. We have, as we have done in the past, hired Mr. Bill Statler to provide analysis on the request, and I will turn it over to him for his presentation at this point.
Thank you. Good evening. The purpose of the report that's been presented to you in the tonight's item is to analyze a rate increase proposed by South County Sanitary Service for four agencies, and one of those, of course, is the city of Arroyo Grande, as well as Grover Beach, the Oceano Community Services District, and the city of Pismo Beach. Why look at the rate increase for all four of these agencies at the same time? Because you receive the same level of service, you have the same franchise agreements, you've adopted the same rate review methodologies, and the financial information for these four operations are very closely related for each agency. Just briefly, the framework for doing the rate reviews, the first one is the base year, and this is a base year analysis. It's the first year of the cycle where we take a detailed analysis of revenues, expenses, and operating data. The last base year review was completed in December of 2012, and again, this is a base year review. But after the base year, for the 2 years that follow, the interim years, the trash company is eligible for an interim rate increase. That really addresses just three factors. What has the consumer price index increase been for what are called controllable operating costs? Pass-through costs that they don't control, like tipping fees and franchise fees. And then lastly, in the model, there needs to be an adjustment based on the level of franchise fees that are available. We don't do a detailed review in the interim years. We take a look at that base year review, and then we make adjustments in the second and third years based on these criteria. This is an interesting report because typically when I've done these reviews, I'm looking at the rate increase request for the coming January. But in this particular case, SCS, South County Sanitary Service, has actually provided you with sort of three issues related to rates to take a look at. And the first is the rate review for January 1st, 2016, and that's what I'll spend most of my presentation on. On the other hand, rather than doing interim year reviews in 2017 and 2018, they're recommending and have asked for a multi-year rate increase where we take kind of those same factors we do in the interim year and just building those into the rate increase. And then the third factor is to take a look at the cost of living threshold that triggers an option that you have. If the franchise agreement is greater than the increase in the cumulative consumer price index since your franchise agreement, that provides you with an option to trigger termination after 9 months. So, but conceptually, you could approve the rate increase, but then at some subsequent point in time, decide we don't want to continue with the franchise agreement. That doesn't really directly affect what requests they can ask for. It doesn't affect the review methodology. And most importantly, it simply triggers an option. But I had to look at all three of these items and provide you with analysis and recommendations separately. On the first item, the January 1st, 2016 rate increase, they provided the supporting documentation that's required under the franchise agreement. When you take a look at the level of service that the South County Sanitary Service provides, it's really clear they're providing that to you and the other South County agencies at very competitive rates compared with similar communities. Overall, I believe they've done a good job of managing their costs and revenues. And so my recommendation is that you approve their rate increase for 3.25% effective January 1st, which is slightly less than would actually be allowed under the rate setting methodology. And I'll touch on why that's the case in a moment. But I do recommend that you approve the proposed rate increase for January. For the multi-year rate increase for the next 2 years, the requested approach, which has been appropriately noticed under Proposition 218, is the annual increase, if any, in the U.S. Consumer Price Index for urban consumers from June 2016 for the January 2017 rate increase, and the change in that same index through June 2017 for the 2018. And in addition to that, they're looking for pass-through of the increases that are already scheduled on an eight-year schedule by the Board of Supervisors for land use disposal costs. This is very similar but slightly different than the intermure rate setting methodology, but the fact is, if you kind of crunch the numbers, you get almost the exact same result. So under the franchise agreement, again, we would take a look at the change in the CPIU, we would take a look at pass-through costs, tipping fees, and then adjustments to cover franchise fees. The first two factors are weighted, the tipping fees and the CPIU, they're weighted by the percentage that each of those represents of their total operating costs. So, for example, based on the 2016 base year review, those controllable costs are about 84% of their costs, and the tipping fees are 16% of their costs. So what we would do with that is if, and this is just an example, if the increase in the CPI was 2%, we would take 84% of that, because that's what the controllable costs are, and then they'd be eligible for a 1.68% adjustment for that. We would take a look at the tipping fee increase, which is around 5%, but it only accounts for 16% of their costs, so they would get something like 0.79, which is what they've asked for as an adjustment. We would take that number, that would be a 2.47% increase, but because you have a 10% franchise agreement, well, they're going to get 2.4% more revenues, they have to pay 10% on that. You do the math, they would be eligible for a 2.75% rate increase if the CPI was 2% under the intermediate methodology. So that would be 2.75%. Their proposed approach, if the CPI was 2%, 2.79%. That's a 0.04% difference. This would make a 1 cent difference for your 32-gallon and your 64-gallon. It really turns out to be almost exactly the same result. So my recommendation is to go ahead and approve their proposed multi-year recommendation. Very minor difference in results. I think it's a more straightforward, streamlined process that's certainly consistent with the interim year rate-setting concepts. And the advantage, I think, to you and the trash company as well, if adopted, you wouldn't need to have the interim year rate increases. It's the same process. Make the decision today, and I think it makes it simpler and more straightforward. The trigger option is actually a little more complicated. If the rate request exceeds the cumulative cost of living since the franchise agreement revision, city has the option of terminating the agreement within 9 months. This doesn't directly limit the rate increase they can ask for, but obviously subjecting the franchise agreement to possible early termination is a strong incentive for the trash company to try and stay underneath that trigger. And that's really the basis for their 3.25% rate increase. In their calculation, they believe that an increase of 3.25% avoids the trigger option. I've done the similar calculations. We agree on a number of things, but we do come up with a different result. And I believe that a rate increase that's greater than 1.5% potentially triggers that option. So the question will be why the difference in how I calculated this as opposed to SCSC. Start with the easy part. We both agree on what the CPIU increase has been. It's been 10.2% that's subject to the trigger. And we both agree on what have the rate increases been, including the one that's before you this evening, that would be subject to the trigger, and that would be 13.65%. Where we have a difference of opinion is in what adjustments we think are appropriate to that approved rate increase. We both agree that a rate increase that was granted back in 2011 based on Greenways having to go to Santa Maria rather than going to the Cold Canyon landfill, agreed upon in advance that that 1.7% portion of the rate increase would not be counted towards the trigger. SES has calculated that for the pass-through back in 2014 and the pass-through for tipping fees in 2016, they believe those should be excluded as well. In my reading of your franchise agreement, I don't believe that those are subject to exclusion, and that's really the ultimate difference. I think 11.9% of the rate increase is subject to the threshold. So stated simply, the CPIU calculation that would trigger the threshold need to stay at 10.2% or under. They believe their requested is at 10.18%, so they're under by a little bit. I believe that their rate increase is actually over by 1.75%, and the rate increase would need to be 1.5% to avoid the trigger. I think you have a couple of ways to view this. The first one would be, reasonable people can reasonably disagree. Maybe you like their calculations better than you like my calculations, in which case it would be clear that they're under the trigger. Second option would be to use my calculation as the basis, but make findings that you won't pursue the trigger option if the requested rates are approved. This is a decision you'd have to make at some point. I'm suggesting one option would be to make that decision this evening. And then the third bullet, of course, would be to use the calculation that has the lower trigger, approve the requested rate increase, but retain the right to potentially pursue contract termination over the next 9 months. And my recommendation is to use option two. I think my calculations are correct. I think you want to set a precedent that this is the way that, in fact, we calculate the trigger, and that'll set a precedent for future years. But I do recommend that in your findings and your approval this evening that you agree not to pursue the trigger. That allows the approval of the current requested rates as reasonable, which I believe they are, but it retains your flexibility in future years about how to use that calculation. So with that, I just want to talk briefly about their actual rate application review per the adopted methodology that's in your franchise agreement. There are really two key questions that we try to answer in the review. And the first one is, should they be granted a rate increase at all in January 2016? And if so, how much? And then there are three kind of subsidiary questions to that. How much does it cost to provide these services? Are those costs reasonable? And if the costs are reasonable, then what's a reasonable return on those costs? In trying to make an assessment about whether costs are reasonable, really looked at it from three distinctly separate perspectives. First, just did a detailed review of their costs and their changes. To put that in perspective, their two-year cost increase is about 1.3% in controllable costs, about 0.65% per year. The CPI in that same period of time was about 2-year annual cost is 0.65%. The CPI went up by 1.3%. And then taking a look at rates in comparable communities. Some caveats about comparing rates. It's difficult to do an apples-to-apples comparison, but we focused on other Central Coast communities. And the fact is that even with the proposed rate increase, your rates will be very competitive. In fact, there's two agencies for the smaller container size that would be slightly less than you. But when you move to the next two container size, 64-gallon and the 96-gallon, there is no one that will be less expensive than you in those two rate categories. So very competitive rates, even with the proposed rate increase. One way to look at the rate increase, take a look at that 3.25%, a little less than 1%. It's just a pass-through cost for how landfill disposal costs are going to increase at Coal Canyon. They have an obligation to begin organics waste diversion, and that's about 1.1%. So the total rate increase that's being asked for that's really based on their own direct operations is 1.34%. If the costs are reasonable, and I believe they are, what's a reasonable return on those? Again, the rate-setting manual answers that. There's what's called allowable costs, and that's really operations and maintenance. There are three items that are called pass-through costs, tipping fees, franchise fees, and any related party transactions. And there's a significant group of costs that are just plain excluded. They're not allowed to have any kind of return on that at all, and that includes charitable and political contributions, entertainment, income taxes, fines and penalties, and there are significant limits on officer compensation as well that are part of the excluded costs. So here's how that works. The target is a 92% operating ratio on allowable costs, recovery but no profit on their pass-through costs, and, of course, no revenues are allowed at all for excluded costs. A couple of key components. There's no provision for retroactivity here. This is really based on perspective. So if they haven't achieved this target in the past, you're under no obligation to try and make up for that. It's perspective only. Again, implementation, detailed base year review, reviews every 2 years thereafter based on interim years. So just a quick example of how the formula works. We take a look at their allowable costs, which are about $8.2 million, and they're allowed a 92% operating ratio in that, so they're allowed to earn a little over $700,000 on those base costs. They have pass-through costs of $1.7 million for tipping fees, $1.3 million for franchise fees, and they do have some related party costs, about $136,000. They're not allowed to earn any profit on those, but they are allowed to recover those. So their requirements for revenue is about $12.1 million. Without the rate increase, they'll only get about $11.8 million, which means their revenue shortfall under this reasonable recovery method is about $385,000. So that would be an increase of 3.3% in revenues. But then again, if they're going to get 3.3% more in revenues, they have to pay you 10% franchise fees on that, which means that we make an adjustment for the fact that their revenue base is going to be a little bit higher, so they need to pass those franchise fees on to you. That leaves them with an allowed revenue increase of 3.67%, keeping in mind they've only asked for 3.25%. When we take a look at the rate history, again, this has been very modest over the last 12 years. If you notice in looking at this slide, there's been 4 years where they haven't asked for a rate increase at all. And when you do the math, including the 3.25% request that's in front of you this evening, they will have averaged about 2.4% in annual increases. Again, very modest. And given the increases in landfill costs, increases in green waste costs, upcoming increased costs in organic waste diversion, I think this is a very, very reasonable track record. So my conclusion, the costs are reasonable. The proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return criteria. The requested rate increase of 3.25% is slightly less than the allowable increase of 3.67%. And so what does that mean for you? The very modest increases at the 32-gallon size, this is about 50 cents a month in increases. Other recommendations, I do recommend that you approve the multi-year rate-setting approach, and I recommend that you make findings that if you approve the 3.25% rate increase, that you won't pursue the trigger option in the next 9 months. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the rate review.
Okay, questions start with Councilmember Guthrie.
Just quick, when you refer to future years, are you referring just to the next 2 years, or for all future years of the agreement?
Are you asking me how many years you have left on the agreement?
Well, we have two options. We have the I'm sorry.
The triggers for 9 months. Yeah.
The trigger, we're going to have the trigger option for 9 months, but when they are requesting 2 year, basically a 3 year contract, your option two, I'm sorry, I should have said, your option two would retain the right for us to use the trigger option. I understand about the 9 months, but in the next 2 years, are we in option two, are we keeping that, or are we giving that up?
I have to defer to your staff on this, but I believe that certainly my recommendation would be that you are not pursuing the trigger option would apply to all three of those years, and I believe the resolution is structured that way as well.
Okay. And then on the question of because it was included here somewhere, on on-site green waste, and maybe actually Councilmember Brown can answer this better, what is the timing on the on us handling green waste at this end of the, instead of taking it to Santa Maria? Is that, my impression is it's basically at the end of this 3 years. And I wanted to check on that before we proceed.
Pat Fenton from South County. Are you referring to, what we're doing right now is, is going down to Santa Maria. There's a long-term plan, which staff didn't want to get into tonight because that's a whole other issue, contract extension that's in there, is to build a plant at our facility, right outside the airport. That's the long-term solution for green waste, because we needed to be forward-thinking and do something that we're not going to be pouring millions every 3 years, because the air agencies the regulatory issues just become too immense. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. So my question then is that somewhere beyond the 3 years that we're talking about here? Somewhere beyond 17?
Well, the plan is, without getting into this whole thing, because I don't want Diane Thompson to think I'm going this way, but that would be built in 2017 is the plan. But we have a long way to go with that, because without the contract extensions, we can't do an agreement without CompoGas. And the only reason we're looking for an extension, they require a guaranteed 20-year waste stream for them to finance and build this thing.
I understand. I'm just still checking on
the 17.
We're well within that.
Yeah, and the 17, 18, the issue I think that we have with Bill, and we're almost on it, the problem is the city contracts, all the South County, were not amended. After the county finally passed that, we need to build the landfill, expand it, we did an agreement with the county, but all the city contracts that were the county contract was amended last year, but the cities have not followed suit, and that's why we have this discrepancy on the trigger option. But the 17 and 18, we just put that out there because all the rates, it's the same thing, 225 every year for the landfill and CPI. That way we're not in front of your council every year coming for money, because it just be the same all the way through, if that makes sense.
No, I understood that part of it. I was just trying to determine where we were at with the...
The 17 is when the compo gets, is that's when we're trying to target to do that.
Thank you. Okay. Those are my two questions.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
No questions.
Councilmember Harmon.
I just had a point of clarification for Mr. Statler. So with the rates... in the rate comparison that you did for 3 years, you indicated if you took those out interim year, there was a difference of about a cent related to what the rate increases would be. So what I'm trying to do is confirm that the rate increase that is proposed for 16, 17, and 18, if you took those separately, there's just a slight difference in what would come out if they had to come back on an interim basis. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think
I didn't state it correctly.
I think you will get almost, here's the sample of 2%, and the CPI may actually even be something less than that. But the reality is I think you will see really no material difference whatsoever. And if for whatever reason, I don't believe this will happen. I'm not even sure that mathematically it's possible to happen. Because really the biggest driver is the CPI. So it is whatever it is under both methodologies. Okay. I just think you, I can't conceive of a situation where you would get a result that's any different than the one I calculated here, where you may be talking about a penny difference between the two rate methodologies. And for a penny, it seems to me it's a simpler, more straightforward process for you to make this decision this evening. It's been properly noticed to the community that this is the formula that's being proposed. I just think this is a slightly more straightforward path. And, you know, perhaps if we had, back when we developed the rate setting manual and to almost 20 years ago now, maybe we would have built something else into this. I think in this case, the thing that makes it possible is that we know on an 8-year schedule what the landfill costs are going to be. Right. Under the intermere methodology, it assumes we don't necessarily know what that is. We're able to really do this if you're kind of looking for why now and maybe not in the past, because we know for the next, I think it was an 8-year rate setting, and 2 years have passed. We know for the next 6 years exactly what the landfill rates are going to be at Coal Canyon. They're going to go up by $2.25 a ton every year for the next 6 years. They've already gone up for 2 years already. And that's what makes really this multi-year formula work. We know what that number is.
Thank you. I do have one question for the representative from, I don't know if I call you Waste Connection or South County Sanitation.
Whatever is easy for South
just don't
County.
Call you late for supper.
South County's in the contract. So, yes, ma'am.
South County. I did have one question, and it really is reference to the notice, the 218 notice of the proposed rate increases. And the one question I have, I don't know if it's a typo, but it says that there's overstacked green waste and extra bags minimum unit. And I apologize, this isn't in the staff report. I grabbed it from actually my mail. And it indicates that the current rate is $2.31, but the proposed rate adjustment is actually 138%. So is there a real issue with your landfill related to the extra green waste and overstacked and just the abundance of waste that you need
I think what that was one specific line item because one of your constituents did call me on that.
Okay.
And then when we went over his bill, we found out that we actually did it right, but whatever happened on the Excel spreadsheet didn't travel because it shows this massive increase.
Okay.
But it's not that way, so we're going to be working with each customer on that. But it just it was formula error somewhere on those extras.
That was the one that just kind of.
And I only had one customer call, and we worked it out. He said, "You're raising me 145%."
Right.
But when he opened the bill, he says, "Oh, now I see what it was." So it was a formula error.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that clarification. Sure. And nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you. If I could just ask for a few points of clarification. Is the rate increase that you feel is justified mainly based on the CPI, or is it based on other things?
Maybe I didn't quite catch the question.
What I'm trying to figure out is you said that the rate increase was justified. I'm trying to figure out on what basis you made that decision.
That about the 3.25%?
Yeah, because I know you had a whole argument about the trigger, but beyond that, I'm trying to figure out why you believe this particular increase is appropriate.
Because I think their base operating costs are only projected to go up by 1.34%, which I think is pretty reasonable. And the other components of the cost increase are really just pass-throughs of what it's going to cost to start the organics diversion and what the scheduled increase is at the landfill. So when you look at those three components, I think the costs are pretty reasonable. When we apply their current revenue and cost model under the rate-setting methodology that you've adopted, it actually would say they could qualify for a 3.67% rate increase, but they've chosen to ask for 3.25. So
that's all based on information that they gave you.
Correct, but it's based on their audited financials. So it is information we've received from them, but they were audited by an independent auditor for their financial information.
So the other question is when I was in the meeting and I asked the question about Compo Gas and the additional costs, and I know there's going to be requests for contracts extensions, and I'll talk about that later, but it seemed to me from the discussion we got during our meetings that taking it down, diverting it to Santa Maria and doing compo gas were comparably about the same when you did the calculation. So my question is, I keep hearing discussion about diversion of organic material, but we're already paying for that and doing that now. So what's different about it than what we're paying for now?
You know, I think the trash company representative may be better positioned to answer that, but I think it's because there is additional handling that's required. We're going to be asking people to separate their organics. There's going to be additional handling that's required in order to deal with that material. But at the end of the day, I'll let the people that are responsible for their costs answer that question.
Well, you were at the same meetings as I am. So, you know, when the county came to us, we didn't just dream this thing up to build this anaerobic digester by any means. When we talked to them, we wanted to do what's right for the county, and we know the cost of Anglin Gray, but we also know down the road that they're going to have to enclose that facility. So we looked at everything, you know, and one thing, and our plan was to go with them, but we told them, and we don't have an agreement. All we have is a memorandum of understanding that we need to try to come up with the cost. We don't know where we're going to be when this thing gets built out. What we told them, we're trying to stay right around the $52 a ton or up to 56, whatever it is, that we have with Anglin Gray. But we also know that if they require to build a facility, then that thing's going to jump through the moon. But we really don't know until we do some kind of an agreement with CompoGas, and these people are out of Switzerland, and we're doing the best we can to work this thing out. We're trying to keep it at a certain cost, and until we get there and do some more negotiating, I can't guarantee anything.
I guess my question is, there was a whole presentation, and part of that presentation was the cost of organic material being diverted. Mm-hmm. So that's already been partially determined by what we're doing now. All we have to determine is what the increase may be. And like you said, you don't know what that might be.
Well,
like
we're going out for 2017 if this thing gets built. The model that we have out right now is that the costs are going to be right around the same, whether it's Anglin Gray or compo gas. And that's where we're going to try to stay. Now, compo gas, if this thing doesn't pencil out or they come with some insane cost, then we're just not going to be able to do business with them, and we'll continue with Anglin
Gray. No, I understand that. I find it hard that if the costs are similar between Anglin Gray and doing compo gas, why we're using that as part of our discussion that we're going to have increased costs due to organic diversion. I mean, I don't doubt that there's going to be some, but I'm asking whether it gets to the point of justifying a rate increase.
Well, we're just talking about the 17 and 18 is just the CPI and the landfill pass-through. The organics is one time now because the county asked us to get these food pails that we would have 52,000 of them we have to buy and send to give to everybody's home, and that was part of the cost in there. The rest of it is just CPI-driven and the landfill increase, and there's no talk whatsoever about any other increase for organics at this point. We're just doing this because we don't have to come in front of you every year when there's no reason to, if we know what the costs are going to be 3 years out. And that's the reason we did that.
Very good. Those are my questions.
Can I?
Go ahead, John.
I'm just going to ask a follow-up just on his question related to that. So if we're already, I understand that we're already sending it to Santa, but can't we already send organics to Santa Maria and therefore would not need food pails? Can't we include them in our green waste when we ultimately go to this, that we can include them right in our green waste?
Well, what we're going to have to do, the difference is, like, green waste is going down there right now. We're going to have to do a transportation thing because now we're, you know, when this thing goes, and like I said, this is another discussion, but when you start throwing your food waste into your green waste container, we're going to have to bring it over to Coal Canyon and mix it together, you know, for big trucks to send it down to Santa Maria. We're going to have too much traffic down the 101. And the costs are prohibitive. So it's cheaper for us, cheaper for all the residents, for us to get it over to the landfill, make this big mixture of the food and green waste that he can handle down there, because it's Anglin Gray's and trucks are going to pick it up. So that's the model we're going for, to keep it the cheapest. And we'll start that. The goal is to start in January 1 of 2016, and then we have to expand it to the commercial customers as well. So this is a pretty big project for us as well.
Keith, so we do know what the county has established the increased landfill costs going out was an 8-year, so we were 6 years remaining on that. So the variable in there is the CPI. And so are we assuming what the CPI is going to be, or will that, what if the CPI goes down?
Yeah, you know, I think it's hard for me to envision the CPI is going to be more than 2% right now. In fact, it's flat and hasn't increased at all over the past year. So I don't see anything that's going to spike that and make it go significantly more than 2%. But keeping in mind, the intermew rate, the rate methodology that you've adopted and what's proposed for the multi-year, they're both saying we don't know what the CPI is going to be, but we're going to use the same base. So for those CPI-driven costs, you're going to get the same result with what they've asked for under the interim reserve for their multi-year, as well as if we come back next year and crunch the numbers, we're going to use that same index. Both are just, you know, we have to wait to see what that is. And again, as I pointed out, the difference here as opposed to previous years is we know what that scheduled landfill increase cost is going to be. The interim year methodology didn't necessarily envision that that would be, that would be the case.
I think it's important to note that, you know, with this, we can't go any higher than what was noticed in the 218. I think council would agree with me. You know, we can go down. So if the CPI is below, we've had years where we passed. We'll just have to see how it breaks down. But we cannot go higher than what was put out in the 218. Okay?
Thank you. Those are my questions. Do we have public comment on this item?
Question for this gentleman, but I have to address you guys. So it's sounding like we're going to get to the point that we're putting our food waste in with our green waste. So does that mean that down the road we're hopefully going to have a recycle can and a green can, and that's all? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you?
In a lot of places where this has been done, believe it or not, most people don't even change their sizes because food waste does weigh a lot, but it's such a small piece in the big can, and that's really what we're finding out. You know, what we're going to do with the food waste and green waste, which I think is the most important thing for the public to know, is we're going to turn this into either CNG fuel to fuel our trucks, or they're going to sell electricity off the grid to PG&E. So we're going to take trash and turn it into either fuel or electricity, and I think that's the part that's would be the most exciting for the community, that we can actually make something that instead of burying it in a hole in the ground. But as far as can size, we'll still have the blue, the green, and the other one. So, and everywhere else it's been done, there's really been no change on that, even in San Francisco. So we'll see how that works out.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from the public on this item? One, please. Please come into the microphone.
Hi, my name is Hector, and I'm a common people. I don't see too many over here, but I want to try to say something. For me, it's not really easy solution, like this gentleman said that. Like, as a common owner, I receive a minimum wage. If, as an employer, if they see anything go high, then they were going to say, okay, you want to raise the rates. Like, I see this, like, they're planning for 3 years. And after 3 years, we will see what can I say after that. And I don't think it's the solution. For me, I know it's more people around these areas, and it's more trash, more move. The gas prices go high every day. 1 month you can see $2.99, next month you can see $3.50 a gallon. You can buy a piece of meat for $3.99 a pound. Next month, you're going to see $7.99. And nobody's going to say, okay, you're going to pay less because you receive that minimum wage. I think they need to look for a better solution for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment.
Espero. C-U-D-S-A-D-E, E-R-O.
Thank you again. Would anyone else like to comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and come back to the council. Comments from council? Council Member Guthrie.
So I think we'll start with the the rate increase for this year, or for 9 months, I guess it is. I do want to speak to the concern that people, certainly people on fixed incomes and people on in low income, this is a significant impact. But the costs are what they are. And the reason that we have set up in advance an understanding of how we're going to arrive at these through the rate manual is so that we have so that we don't have to every single time go through every single detail of how we arrive at these expenses. But I do recognize that there is that every increase, even $2 a month, is significant for portions of our population. The other side of that is the alternative. It isn't like we can just come up with another solution unless we're going to stop trash pickup. I mean, we could at some point go out to it for another competitive bid at somewhere at the end of this contract, but it would still be a significant expense. I do think that this percentage increase is reasonable. It is how we've done it, I'm going to say, for the last 8 years that I've been on the council. We've seen this program. I am somewhat concerned about giving up the trigger, although I just, you know, intellectually can't imagine, you know, this isn't really a very competitive atmosphere, but I do think I would like to keep the trigger option available, which I believe is option two, and I don't know if we will have to change the resolution to reflect that or not, but I do think we want to keep the trigger option available to us. I like the idea of going through the 3 years so that we don't have to do this every year, and I'll just sort of remind the public that if the CPI were zero, then there wouldn't be no rate increase because there are some fixed costs that are clearly pass-through costs as they're con that are going up, but the rate increase next year would not be a full, whatever it was, two point something percent. So the calculation that we're talking about in 2% may not be what actually happens. The only rate increase we're actually voting on tonight is the direct increase for this year. We're not deciding the actual cost of future years. So I'm okay with the proposal as it is, with the assumption that we get to keep that we do keep the methodology for the trigger in place. I think that's pretty key. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
Thank you. I would agree with Councilmember Guthrie. I think that a lot of the costs here are pass-through costs. We can't really do anything about those. The increase to waste connections is rather small, seems very fair, and but I would also be in agreement with keeping the trigger in place. But go with staff's recommendation without that. Thank you.
Councilmember Harmon.
Oh, thank you. I want to acknowledge the work done by Mr. Statler and his associates. I found that your report and your analysis was very user-friendly, and I really appreciate that. This is one of the first times I had the privilege of going through a rate increase analysis, so I really appreciate the work done on that. Also, I think it's important that I acknowledge that I did read and receive the written comments that were sent to us related to protesting the rate increase, and I also appreciate the gentleman that spoke related to his concern and the concerns that folks on fixed income or any income really have when they have to bear another increase, especially with the volatility of the fuel prices and the increasing prices for our food, which is kind of ironic because a lot of this rate increase is driven by food because of an assembly bill, which is Assembly Bill 1826, which is mandated, and it's a commercial organic diversion program. So I think it's really important to remind the public that 1.1% of this rate increase is really attributed to what the sanitation company needs to endure and actually implement something that's mandated. And once again, you know, my favorite chorus is an unfunded mandate by the state. I think it's really harmful that the state has implemented and approved something without, again, the cost of ratepayers, any increases, the increases of the cost of doing business, and kind of throwing it out there like,
well, this is a really good idea we have, and we have to do it because we have this issue regarding our landfills, but you guys go ahead and figure it out and work out the details. I think that's, well, not maybe criminal is a little bit too harsh, but I think it's really irresponsible. Plus, it's a added cost to all of our commercial businesses as well. And it affects a for-profit business margin and bottom line. But with that being said, I think it does make sense to move forward with a three-year proposal based on the analysis. Also, it would give us an opportunity to avoid the interim reviews. I also think it's worth noting that the increase is 3.25 that's being requested, as opposed to what the calculations reveal could have been up to 3.67. So I appreciate that. Arroyo Grande does still have the lowest rates for trash collection. Not that that justifies, raise it $10 will still be the lowest. I don't mean it in that way, but I think it's important to emphasize that as well. I don't support rate increases in general, but I also think it's reasonable to expect that there are cost of living increases, cost of doing business, and certainly since what did the note say? I think it was in our staff report that since 2011, there's been at least four or five assembly bills that have come in specifically related to what happens with trash collection and the specific kinds of collection. I think it's also the AB 36, it really is focused on requiring, not only have we separated the green waste and the pruning and other various types of wood, but now it is down to food waste. And we'll all be getting a little bucket in January, so we separate our food waste. In April of 2016, this is all supposed to happen for our commercial vendors, I guess, or our commercial rate payers. And so I'm wondering how all of our restaurants and all of our other commercial folks are either aware of what's coming or how they are going to handle it, all that separation. I also find it very ironic that currently the diversion that is mandated for organic waste is being transported via tractor trailer on our freeways, which seems to contradict the state's mandates for reduced greenhouse gas emissions, and also not to mention the wear and tear on already battered highways. For I think we've had discussion about the state not making those a priority. Lastly, I'd really like to give credit for South County Sanitation Services and also Waste Connections for being forward-thinking and what they have to do to keep the business viable and our rates low, considering all the mandates that you've had to deal with that have affected your business model. As far as the trigger, I feel that it seems to be a wise choice based on the fact that we're considering a three-year rate increase, and also based on the analysis, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a real range of needing to be cautionary about that. So with that said, I'm ready to move forward with the staff's resolution, but I would prefer to agree with them also about not keeping the trigger. Does that make sense? Yes.
Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I want to say that I agree with Councilman Guthrie and Councilwoman Barnage's comments previously regarding this issue, so I'm not going to add a whole lot to that other than to say while I'm excited about the Compo Gas project, the idea of having franchise agreements extended based on a business decision by Waste Connections is not the appropriate thing, so I will be arguing against approving a franchise agreement extension just because of Compo Gas. I heard the city manager, I believe it was, of Pismo Beach get up and speak, and he was very eloquent in saying that that's a business decision by Waste Connections, and it should not be borne by the different parties. While I believe it'll be a successful business venture, I don't think we should have to be locked into
long-term extensions just because of Compo Gas. So while I'm excited about that project, I will be questioning the franchise increase or the length of the increase of the agreement as time goes on. The current increase I'm okay with, again, as long as we keep the trigger in place. Again, I don't see us using it. Like Councilman Guthrie said, it's not really a highly competitive market. It's not like we're going to be taking business away from you anytime soon. So, but I would like to keep the trigger in place. So those are my comments.
Okay. No one likes rate increases, and what we're basically faced with is increases that have already been imposed by the Board of Supervisors in raising the landfill tipping fees, and the legislature in mandating organic processing requirements. I agree with my fellow council members' comments, Councilman Guthrie's comments. I'm also mindful of Councilmember Brown's comments about the business decision related to Compo Gas. That's something that, you know, a business risk is a business risk. And I don't know that the city wants to take on business risk. With the with respect to the trigger option, I think the you've recommended that we reset the trigger level such that it isn't triggered by tonight's action, and that it would remain in place but at a level that would be.
Yeah, if I could address this a little bit. I believe I had nothing to do with negotiating a trigger option into your franchise agreement. But I believe that that was recommended or proposed as really a safety valve. What if somehow or another, through the rate-setting methodology, we just came up with a rate increase that just didn't seem reasonable? This was really, I think, intended to be a release for that. Mm-hmm. And so if you were confronted this evening with a rate increase that you felt obligated, I have to approve it because it's what the rate manual says, but in your heart of hearts you went, but I don't believe it's a reasonable rate increase, then it would make total sense to want to retain that trigger option. But from the comments I've heard, I'm hearing the council members basically believe this is a reasonable rate increase and that you're comfortable that it's a reasonable process for the next 2 years. I would strongly recommend, because I think it really puts a level of uncertainty out there for the trash company that to a certain degree, and fair is a strong word, that's awkward if you in fact believe that the rate increase is reasonable. I would totally strongly recommend that you not waive that if you felt the rate increase wasn't important, if you felt the rate increase was unreasonable. And I'm also recommending in my recommendation that we not change how to calculate the trigger. So you're not giving that up for future years. I'm very confident that you will have very, very modest rate increases under the next 3 years. But I'm not suggesting you agree with the revised calculation as they made it, that we stick with what that trigger is. And that preserves for you in years after the next 3 years. That would certainly preserve for you that lower threshold, certainly would retain that ability that somehow or another you felt that the next set of rate increases was inappropriate. You wouldn't be waiving that, and you wouldn't be waiving the calculation that I've made that it's a lower trigger. But I would really urge you to maybe reconsider whether, at least for this 3 year period, making the finding that you won't pursue the trigger. If in fact you believe the rate increase is reasonable, that I believe is a reasonable conclusion to make as well.
If I could comment just really quick, just to clarify what my intent there was, I did say the methodology. My interpretation was absolutely, we're doing a 3 year deal, we'll waive the trigger for 3 years. My concern is that beyond the 3 years, I don't want to give up the methodology that we've used in the past. And that's what my impression was from your discussion, that the way that it potentially could be, we'd be giving up the methodology forever. And that's what I don't want to do.
I believe the way your resolution is crafted says, no, the calculation is the lower threshold. We could opt to pull the trigger, but we're not going to do that for this three-year cycle. I believe that is the way the resolution is worded. You will keep that lower threshold in perpetuity. That's why I'm recommending don't agree with their calculations, agree with my calculations. Just make that finding now as opposed to later that for this three-year cycle, we're not going to pursue that trigger option. If you believe the rate increase is reasonable, then I think that is a reasonable finding, and it puts them really in an awkward position for you to say it's reasonable, we'll go with a three-year deal. But at any time in the next 9 months, we can decide to pull the trigger. I think that puts them in an awkward position. But you retain that flexibility once this three-year cycle is over with that lower threshold number.
Okay, that was my intent. In my discussion, because it's the methodology that I want to maintain into the future, particularly with a lot of significant unknowns once we go into the organic waste. So I'm sorry if I wasn't clear, but I thought I was.
Okay, we appreciate the clarifying comments there. So the recommendation then before us is to approve your calculation methodology as well as
I'm trying to find it. Long story short, of the three options that I had available, the one I'm recommending is you just make a decision you're not going to pursue the trigger, not because you couldn't, and not because this rate increase doesn't exceed the trigger, because it does, and you retain that methodology and that framework for the future. You're just making a finding now that for this three-year cycle you won't pursue that trigger option.
I'm ready to craft a motion. I would move a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande establishing integrated solid waste collection service rates for January 1, 2016, 2017, and 2018.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt. It was pointed out in the testimony here tonight that there's an error on this Exhibit A on at least one, maybe two of the rates. If that's correct, if we could get those correct numbers inserted here, and if they're less than the rates on here, that's good. If they're more, then I think we have an issue with our notification on here. That's my understanding. I believe they're less than what's indicated here.
That's true. Those were the two lines that were. We would never do a 245% increase. I mean, there was the two formula lines on anything that was considered extra, not the normal rates.
Do you have those correct numbers with you?
No, I don't.
So for clarification, this is on Exhibit A to the resolution. Under miscellaneous charges, all customers, the second item is overstacked green waste and extra bags minimum unit. The current monthly rate is listed as $2.31. The proposed rate adjustment is listed as 138%. That number is incorrect. We will get the correct number replaced there, which will drop the proposed monthly rate to a lower number, which we will get. And then if you go 2, 3, 4, 5 to the fifth item in the same category, monthly charge for additional 96-gallon green waste service, that percentage of 245% is also wrong, and that number will drop. And then go ahead.
Well, I think what it was is, like I talked about, the customer, the bill, the number that was in there for their actual bills is higher, but the it's not going to go up. The percentage is not 145 or 245. That was the formula error line. So I have to get with my controller, but we'll straighten this out because it's really a minor detail. And I can have that sent over to Debbie tomorrow.
Thank you.
Well, just to clarify, because that sounds like it may not be a less rate if you're saying the starting rate was incorrect. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So when we look at this, for instance, if we're looking at the overstacked greenways and extra bags, it starts out as being a $2.31 charge. Are you saying that's incorrect?
I'll have to look at it.
Is it?
The increase, I think the question with people was the increase shows 245%, 144. That's incorrect. So I think what it was is that 230 is actually a 360. It's going up to that increase, whichever that number was, but the initial number was wrong. So the increase is all, it's minimal, but on there, the starting thing, I think, is $2.30. It should be like $3.60, which is already an approved rate.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, but it does make it a little bit different than I thought.
Yeah,
and so what we're talking about is either they are the same rate. Does the fact mm-hmm. that the percentage is incorrect, is that a problem?
Well, it's
if the final rate is the same.
If the proposed monthly rates don't increase, I'm a little less uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Do we have to do a whole? So you're saying that if in fact the
if we feel that these rates are not accurate or are misleading, we would need to do a new notice. If we feel that it's not, you know, exceeding the numbers here.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask you a question, Mr. Statler? So are you saying? So are you saying that the overstacked green waste and extra bags minimum, the end number, the proposed monthly rate effective 1/1/2016, is 550? That is correct?
I don't have something in front of me to look at.
Okay. I have a question for staff, if I might. It seems to me that we have general consensus that a rate increase is justified. Is there any reason we can't actually put this off for a vote as a consent agenda item at another meeting when we have the exact numbers and we know exactly what we're doing?
Doing a Prop 218 rate increase requires a public hearing, and it requires a 45-day notice of the public hearing. So if we felt that these corrections need to be made, then we would need to re-notice these rates corrected, and then hold another public hearing, and then take action. And if I'm hearing that you have concerns with the resolution, I'm not sure if we are making changes to that or not.
This will not be higher than this. And I think what it was is the effective rate is actually like the 160 is actually 360, but it's not going over 550. So there is no increase. That was the formula error. Now that I got this in front of me. So there is no increase, which would trigger another 218. These are just rare. This is just if somebody has their cover sticking way up. I mean, these things rarely happen, but it's not going above this.
I don't understand your comment.
Let me let the city manager make a comment first.
I would recommend that the council take action this evening, assuming that the numbers are acceptable, that they're not misleading in terms of being higher, that when we work out the numbers, it's actually going to be less than what's represented here, and then we can review the numbers and we'll re-notice and bring it back to you if there's an issue. So that way you can take action this evening and it'll be acceptable if everything works out. And I also want to point out that this error was brought to our attention during the meeting just a few minutes ago by our trash provider. And it was in the numbers that they provided us. So unfortunately, it came up during the course of the meeting, so we didn't have a chance to really review these numbers and let you know if they're accurate or not.
Well, one thing I'll guarantee, no matter what, it's not going to go up because I'll fix that. I guarantee that. So there will be no increase to do anything else. I'll just line this thing out and make sure it's either where it should be or below it. So there will not be an increase. I can do that. I just can't do it if I don't have the guy in front of me to fix this. But that was the formula error that we didn't know about till now. So I apologize.
I'm still a little uncomfortable because we're making a decision without knowing what the current this is. I haven't got the rates memorized. The way I heard that, you're saying it won't. I'll just point out that both of these have the exact same final rate. Mm-hmm. Both of them end up at 550. Mm-hmm. One of them says 72%. One of them says 138%. If in fact it's the original rate that's wrong, it's just kind of odd that they end up at the same place. So I am concerned that although I agree it's a relatively small deal here, but that it is relatively misleading if in fact what we're seeing is the current monthly rate is not actually the current monthly rate.
I agree, Councilman. I think it would be cleaner and in the best interest of the public to do a notice that is completely correct and has all the correct information. And while it's, it means continuing this and having the new hearing, but I think that's better than relying on a notice that could be challenged as not complete.
I will withdraw my motion.
I would move that we continue the item to give proper notice, what, beyond 45 days, I believe, probably from now.
If I could, just to make one thing clear, if there is one or two errors in this schedule, that would only, you aren't required to not re-notice the entire rate increase if you have a correct number that you want here. You could leave the current rate in place for the ones that are in error, and then if you did have to re-notice and come back again in 45 days, you could do that just for the ones that are inaccurate.
Yeah, but we're not voting on parts of it. We're voting on the whole part. We're voting on all of it. So it's not a question of, I think, as the gentleman said, I think he's going to correct the issue. But we're dealing with rate increases, and the public doesn't like those. And from a public perception standpoint, I think we should have the exact information in front of us. Otherwise, people are going to say, why did you vote on something where you didn't have the clear information? It's a small issue in the scheme of things, but the public deserves to see us do it correctly. So I'm respectfully requesting that the item be continued to 45 days to correctly notice the correct rates. And at that point, we would, it seems based on what we've heard here, we would approve the increase.
And I'll concur with that, with the comment that independent of the fact that it might be a very minor deal 3 years from now when someone's challenged it, it'll be a really big deal when it finally works its way all the way through. And just remind everybody the Paso Robles water increase, which was a mess for almost 10 years. So I think it's certainly worth waiting 45 days for and having another meeting.
So that's my motion.
Would that allow staff sufficient time to make 45 days from tonight, do we need any more time than
plus
that?
45.
This will require a 45-day noticing period again. So it'll be more than 45 days
right.
from this evening.
Right.
So we won't continue to a date certain. We'll just bring the item back to you at a future date.
That's what my motion intended.
So I think to amend the motion, we'd be moving staff to bring this back after it's correctly noticed and the corrections are made.
Correct. Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Did you second that motion? If not, I will.
It was a friendly amendment.
But, yeah, that's my amended motion. Are you seconding the motion or not?
Yes, I already seconded it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we delay this as necessary for the proper noticing. May we have a roll call, please?
Discussion, please.
Discussion, certainly.
I just want to express my frustration that neither staff nor the applicant caught this before coming to public hearing. This is not something we should be doing during public debate or public discussion on an item. This should have been resolved prior to this item ever coming before us. So and we had a prior noticing issue, which we had to rehear something, and now we're rehearing this based on a mistake. And so it's not. I'm not saying it to try to point blame. I just think we need to be more vigilant about what we're doing, because this is the second time now that we've had to continue something due to really improper noticing is really what it gets down to. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Any other comments?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Any other public comment on the proposed motion before the vote? Hearing none. Can we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnett?
Yes.
Mayor Hill?
Yes. Item 10, then, moving on, is old business. We have none. New business, we have none. Council communications. Are there? Start with Councilman Guthrie.
I'm sorry. I'm just reaching for my reports. I have no communications.
Do we have reports?
I have one, Your Honor.
Are we not going to do reports?
That's on the agenda.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to do the reports because we were so far. So we better build in an extra hour and a half for reports.
Next time. Mayor Pro Tem.
I would like to see if the council would indulge me and agendize the possibility of going styrofoam free in Arroyo Grande on a future agenda.
I'm all for it.
we can.
You need a vote for that?
Yeah, you're supposed to vote.
That'd be a good idea, and make sure we have a majority. Okay, I would move that we look at the styrofoam-free ordinance for Roy Grandy at a future meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Anything else, Mayor Pro Tem? Councilmember Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The communication I have tonight is that it's been brought to my attention, and it's my understanding that an FPCC complaint has recently been filed regarding Planning Commissioner Mack. I have my own concerns pertaining to how Commissioner Mack conducted himself throughout the Cortland hearing process, especially given that he resides in the Berry Gardens specific plan. As such, I would like to direct staff to place consideration of removal of Planning Commissioner Mack on the next council agenda, and further direct staff to obtain a copy of any FPCC complaint filed regarding Commissioner Mack for the council's consideration. And that's all I have.
Does she need a vote on that as well?
I would second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we put that on the next agenda. All in favor?
Can I just ask it?
Oh, comments or
can we have
comment or discussion?
How limited is our discussion here? I mean,
it's not on the agenda tonight, so it would be limited to
whether to put it on
whether
the
you
agenda.
Want to have this brought back or not, and it should be a limited discussion, and we should have a roll call to see if there's majority consensus.
So we couldn't discuss timing?
That would be probably fine.
Okay. I guess my one concern here has to do with the timing. I realize that there's activity taking place, but if there is an FFPC complaint in place, I'm wondering if we wouldn't want to give it at least some time to work its way through. That's my comment.
If I could comment as well, if we're being allowed to comment. This issue is not new. It's come up before. It's been put before the FPPC, and this is not a new issue, and I'm not worried about the outcome. So it may take some time, as Councilman Guthrie said, to work its way through the process, but this is not the first time this issue's come up. I can assure you. I know quite well that it's not the first time it's come up. So anyway, those are my comments.
Mr. Mayor, if I may. You know, my concern here, and the reason I'm bringing it forward, is that there is a perception, whether that perception is fair, whether that perception is true, but there is a perception out there that there's been questionable conduct by one of our planning commissioners. And based on that, one of the only ways that I know that this could be addressed in order to get out in front of it, to make sure that the public is aware that we have heard what they have been that they have said related to some of the questionable actions, that I am bringing it forward this evening to make that known, and also for consideration to allow further discussion by the whole council, which is something that I think is important for consideration. So whether we do that at the next meeting or at a future meeting, the main intent is to make sure that people are aware, that council is aware, that people have concerns related to conduct of one of our planning commissioners.
Can additional comment? Additional question of council. So when we look at this kind of, I know that these things can take a really long time. Is there any sort of like a 90-day period that says something happens in 90 days? Is there any kind of timing issue here that we can deal with other than forever?
To my knowledge, there is no set timeline within which the FPPC conducts investigations or issues decisions. So it's not like, they'll get a response in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. I don't believe they operate that way.
And
I do know that upon receipt of a formal complaint being filed, within 14 days, the FPCC will notify the person filing the complaint of whatever action that they will be taking, if any, and that I also know that, according to the FPC website, that the person who is alleged to be in violation will receive notification and be sent a copy of the alleged complaint within 3 business days after it has been received by the FPCC. So City Attorney Whittem is correct in saying there really is no timeline related to that. That is about as close as we can get related to knowing anything more.
Is that something we're privy to? Is that something that would be available to us? And in since it's obviously been 14, well, I don't know, has it been 14 days? You don't know. Okay.
No.
I guess my inclination here would be rather than the next meeting, let's make it 30 days. If that's the one timeline we have, let's make it. Let's look at this in 30 days, and if you guys were open to that, that it would be like the first meeting in November would be 30 days. I would be open to that.
If that's the consensus, then that's fine. Again, my intent is to get out in front of anything that is being brought to my attention about a perception out there. And we've talked a lot in the last 9 months about perception, and perceptions, like I said, they're not fair, and sometimes they're not true, but there is a perception, and sometimes that's even more weighty than anything else.
Seems to me, though, that individuals, even that are involved in something, have the right to express their opinion in a meeting. In fact, if there was a council meeting, hypothetically, and one of the council members hypothetically had a conflict of interest, the council member would be required to state the conflict and leave the room during the discussion. However, even that council member, and council can correct me if I'm wrong, that council member can speak at the meeting as a member of the public on that item. So am I correct in that, council?
You know, I'd be happy to discuss that with you, but I feel tonight's discussion is starting to get way past a vote on whether to bring
it
back or not. I really think we need to do that and then have a full discussion where we can all give our opinions and ask whatever questions we have.
Okay, so it's we have a motion on the floor to bring that item onto a future agenda, and that was the next agenda, as I understand the motion.
And based on discussion, then I'd like to amend that to place it on a future agenda item within a 30-day period. Is that?
I don't know if that falls on a regular meeting. There was a suggestion first meeting in November.
That would be fine.
Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I would go ahead with that amendment.
Okay, well, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnett?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
No.
Mayor Hill?
No. Motion passes 3-2. Anything else, Councilmember Harmon?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember
Brown? Diane, I left you a message on this, and I just want to say it publicly. I'd like to get a 5-minute presentation at a future meeting on the state of marijuana law. Mm-hmm. We're getting some friction about Lyerly Lane and some other places, and I don't even know what defines a cooperative. I'm not clear. And I get these questions kind of thrown at me, and I'd like to be able to have some basis to respond. So, and I know it's a fast-moving subject. I know Governor just passed some legislation, and I don't know what that means to us, and we probably don't either. But if we could get either Heather or the police chief to give us just a 5-minute brief
discussion at, during one meeting, just for the public's sake, so we're all hearing the same type of thing.
We can bring a presentation back to the council on that topic.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I want to be fair on all topics. Is there a consensus to have that brought back?
I'll second that request, if we have to second.
Do we need a roll call, or is that a... Can we have a...
Are they all in favor of that?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I note that the Fire Authority has on its upcoming agenda an increase in compensation for administrative staff, and I just wonder, we talked about revisiting the JPA, and I wonder if we should not be looking at revisiting the JPA. We've been very patient with that item, and I know the chief has mentioned that we would like to revisit the JPA, and I think that, you know, before we talk about various increases, especially administrative type increases, that we should continue down the path of looking at the JPA and possibly revisiting that. We had a meeting of the Briscoe Interchange subcommittee, and one of our consultants, Mr. Harris, who has the council unanimously approved an extension of his contract through next year, and he has been participating with us on this. But I found that there was no, his contract somehow wasn't funded, yet I looked back at the material from the council meeting, and this goes back to like March. The statement was made that there was like $800,000 in the amount that had been from an original $3 million set aside, that $800,000 remained, and that his contract would be paid from that. And I'm just hoping that we haven't spent another $800,000 in the interim time. So I'd just like to look into that and to make sure that our contracts can be properly funded. And then with regard to the Briscoe Interchange, I noticed the paving has been done. I drove across it just this evening. It was great. Not all broken and bumpy like it's been. So good job by Public Works and our contractors who've done the paving work. That's much appreciated. I look forward to the striping. And I would urge all of our residents to be aware of what the two alternatives are. They're called Alternative 1 and Alternative 4C. And to briefly state, Alternative 1 is modeled by the closure that we're currently engaged in. And in addition to that, there would be traffic improvements at the Grand Avenue Freeway Interchange and the Camino Mercado Interchange. Alternative 4C would move the ramps. The present ramps would be closed. Ramps would be installed at Rodeo Drive with a major roundabout there. And so those are just a real brief discussion of the two alternatives. But again, I would urge residents to become familiar with that and what the alternatives are and what the impacts of those might be to you as we go forward. So that's the council communication. Is there staff communication?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. With clarification from city attorney, am I able to respond to the inquiry about the JPA and or the agenda item, or should I have a discussion with the mayor and clarify his concern?
It's not on the agenda, so we really shouldn't have a full dialogue.
That's why I wanted to clarify. Okay, very good. Thank you.
To hear your opinion certainly
I'll have
afterwards.
To tell you later.
Okay. Is there staff communications?
Yes, Mayor Hill and Council. I do have a couple items to review with you. Public Works Director Jeff English stole my thunder in relation to the Briscoe item I was going to update you on, and then Bob Lund stole my thunder on the Arroyo Grande in Bloom item. So I do have one remaining item, though, which is an update on some of our Recreation Department activities. Now, first of all, we have an upcoming Halloween Carnival and Haunted Maze Saturday, October 24th from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Elm Street Park. The carnival will have game booths for toy and candy prizes, a cookie decorating booth, a costume contest at 6:15, and food for sale. Additionally, if participants bring a decorated pumpkin from home, they can enter it in the pumpkin decorating contest to be held at 5:30 p.m. We are anticipating about 1,000 people will participate this year, and each year this event draws about 800 to 1,000 participants, so that's sizable. And we have flyers at the back of the room. Also wanted to mention that we have youth basketball starting next month, and we estimate 95 to 100 teams will be playing. There are 850 students from the Five Cities area and 150 students from Napomo. Teams will be forming through the end of October. Games begin on November 30th and run through mid to late February. Men's fall basketball, there will be four different divisions, lower, middle, upper, and over 40, with six teams in each division, up to 12 players on a team. They play in local gyms on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. And teams were formed in September, and the games run until the middle of November. Also, fall softball. These games are played on Sundays in the Soto Park Complex, a men's division and a co-ed division, eight teams in the men's division and seven teams in the co-ed division. Teams were formed in September, and games run until the middle of November. For more information on these activities, please go to the city website at www.arroyogrande.org. And I just want to mention that these are just some of the programs that are going on with our Recreation Department, but I'm really impressed by the breadth of the programs and the number of participants. We really do have a dynamite Recreation Department that puts on wonderful programs for our community, which are interesting programs, as you know, some of the standard things, but also interesting programs that I haven't seen before. So I'm very much looking forward to the Halloween Carnival and Haunted Maze. I'm sure that you have probably attended it. I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it, hoping it's not too scary, but I'm still looking forward to it. Anyway, that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? No, Director Rogers and Brendan Carey and the whole staff of the Recs Department do a great job. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope I get time off from the power plant to be able to go there. That'd be great. Item 14, then, is closing public comment. If anyone would like to address the council at this time.
Patty Welsh. When the maze goes on out at Elm Street, so people who have animals, please be aware, the dog park is not open. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Ms. Martin.
Hi, thank you. I really appreciate Councilmember Brown bringing up the future agenda item regarding the marijuana and not just the sale, but cultivation in our community. I'm asking to add a few things into that report that you're going to get. You might not know this, but when you live next door to an active marijuana cultivation operation, it smells really, really bad, especially in the hot weather we've been having. It smells like a covey of skunks next door to where my mother lives. So San Luis Obispo passed an ordinance regarding odor. I know we all thought maybe it was because someone who needed a shower came in the library, but it wasn't. It was regarding marijuana. So if you could include that, that would be lovely. Also, you know, in our development code, if you put in a swimming pool, you have to put a fence around the pool for the safety of children. Currently, right now, at the operation I'm talking about, which is at the corner of East Cherry and Lyerly Lane, there is marijuana literally growing over the fence that I could pluck and pick. There is not an enclosed fence, okay? There is some fencing, but any person, toddler, anyone, could walk on the property without any problems at all. Oftentimes, there's no one home. And also included in the report that you get would be the noise. When they grow marijuana in a greenhouse, there is a fan going on 24/7 and lights going on 24/7. And that's very disruptive. If you've lived out on a country lane where it's been very quiet, it's really unfortunate because we're going to have this gap of timing. There's a good chance that California is going to pass further laws regarding the sale of marijuana. And actually, when that happens, things will actually, they'll create some ordinances and some protocols for us to follow. But right now, we are just at the mercy of very little tools in our toolkit right now to do anything about the active marijuana growing that's going on in our city. And it is not fair to the people who live here. And you would not want to live next door to it like my mother has had to endure. So thank you for adding a few things, if you possibly can, at this late moment to the report. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other comment? Yeah, hopefully the report could include some suggestions on moving forward. Any other comments at this time? Hearing none. Item 15 is closed session. We have none. And item 16 would be a motion to adjourn.
Second.
They're moved and seconded.